Hello and welcome to Anecdotal Koreans. My name is Young.
And I'm Kyla. We are an interracial married couple with separate and distinct experiences with and around Korea.
This is a podcast where we talk about how those experiences continue to shape our lives and our marriage.
On today's episode, we will be reflecting on some Korean dramas, Korean movies that we have watched, and just sharing our general noticings and wonderings and connections that we have to them.
The shows and movies we're going to be talking about are as follows: Crash Landing on You, Mr. Sunshine, Parasite, the movie, Squid Game, and My Mister. So if you haven't watched any of those, you can stop this podcast right now and, I don't know, pick one of them.
No, watch all of them.
Yeah, okay.
Right now, in one sitting. Yeah.
We'll wait.
Yeah, so before we begin talking about these shows, Young, growing up as a kid, as a teenager, did you watch many Korean shows or consume much Korean media?
Intermittently, and I think more when I was in elementary. And they were mostly like biographical, historical dramas. Like,
of course.
Now there's a lot of fantasy Korean historical dramas, or set, like historical fiction dramas. Yeah. But no, I was...
Like documentary.
Yeah. In a dramatic fashion. That's what I was watching as an elementary kid. I was a nerd for Korean history, so... but yeah, not a lot of like Korean dramas, like romance, or... Because I got the feeling, and I knew some of the stereotypes that they were like for middle-aged like women, and like they were kind of like telenovelas,
you know, like the slow build-up, the
the just like dramatic, the twists, and like someone dies but then they come back, and like all of that. So yeah, not a lot in my teens and high school and college. Maybe I would see like snippets of like variety shows, but not like Korean dramas as much. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah, living in Korea, I guess surprisingly I didn't watch Korean dramas.
You guys didn't have a TV.
Yeah, we also didn't have a TV. And I was friends with a lot of like international students or like international people, so I don't think we as like a friend group knew what to watch if we were going to watch a Korean drama. Yeah, but I do remember my mom watched a lot of Korean dramas, and she would watch them in Korean with Spanish subtitles.
Oh, what?
Because she wanted to work on her Korean listening skills, but also continue her Spanish. Oh. So I was impressed by that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but now when we watch Korean dramas, we watch it with English subtitles, of course.
And before we go any further, let me just state for the record that, yeah, when we do watch Korean shows and there's subtitles, I will read the subtitles. But that's like for anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a reader rather than a watcher if it comes to subtitles. But it's okay, because I also like pick up on the translation.
Yeah.
And like, I frequently comment, oh, like this is a Korean saying, but there's no like literal translation that fits. So they said something else.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I miss out on that element. Like if there's just a little joke, but it never takes away from the show overall. It's just like a little, I don't know, like play on words.
Right.
But yeah. So let's start with Crash Landing on You. This was the first show that we watched together.
Yeah. And actually, my parents recommended it to me. So I figured that, you know, it's a worth a watch.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's about, obviously, it's a romance. And it's about a South Korean woman who is CEO of this big wealthy business. She comes from a wealthy family, and she decides to go paragliding one day and gets caught in a storm and crashes on the North Korean side.
She crash lands
on you. and a North Korean soldier stumbles upon her, and the show is about just their romance building up and him trying to get her safely back over the border.
Which is hard, because...
Yeah, just the political...
Yeah, just...
And dynamics. Landmines. Yeah, and yeah. Okay. But it's really good. It's a really good show. So...
I guess let's start with that. Like,
yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. The main wondering I have is, I wonder how many Koreans have watched the show, and if while watching it made them think about the reunification of North and South Korea, or if that aspect of the show is just kind of a background element to add drama. Like,
so like you're wondering, it was this like an intentional maybe not movement, but just like a beginning of like, hey, like, let's start thinking about reunification,
like, and wanting more connections with North Korea, wanting to show to the audience that the people of North Korea are just Koreans like you.
Yeah.
They're also humans living their lives, making their kimchi, like, doing all their things.
Right.
Or, like, was it a choice that the creators or directors made just to add another element of drama?
Oh, right.
Because it is very dramatic.
Well, I think for sure with the older generations, like, well, I say for sure, but, like, as the years go on, like, those older generations who have immediate family ties with North and South Korea are...
Or can remember the war.
Right.
Yeah.
They're getting older. They're dying off. But like my grandma was born on the north side.
Yeah.
Before it got split. Right. And she went to South Korea during the war with her grandpa. And like my grandpa was born in 43.
Okay.
And so like within his lifetime, he was born during the Japanese occupation, saw the war. Vietnam, like, so there's not as much like personal connection to North Korea, South Korea. Like, there's no split families for, I guess, like the kids of the 21st century anymore. It's more of like an idealistic, it's something that should happen because there's just still one Korean people. It's not like they're two, I guess, I was going to say two separate countries, but
they are right now.
But like in the constitution of South Korea, one of the duties of the South Korean president is to promote and like pursue a peaceful reunification. And also all North Korean refugees who make it to South Korea are citizens, just automatically citizens of South Korea, because like otherwise, like, it becomes like, oh no, you are not a Korean, right? It becomes actually two countries.
Yeah.
But the general idea is, no, like, we're one country that's divided.
Yeah. Yeah. And vice versa. Like, South Koreans are considered, in the North Korean perspective, South Koreans are considered Koreans. It's not like they're a different...
Right. I bet that's how it is.
Yeah.
I bet the two governments just see each other as illegitimate governments ruling over their Korean people.
While Crash Landing on You, obviously the main aspect or the main focus of the show is the romance between the two main characters. There is just a group of really wholesome guys
the soldiers,
the friends, and I think they add so much to the show, but they're all North Korean soldiers, and it reminded me and maybe humanized the people of North Korea and North Korea for me, because I remember just, well, even up till now, like, I have this very narrow-minded perspective on what life in North Korea is like. I mean, I visited the DMZ, like, growing up in Korea, I think I was more aware of just the, political atmosphere between the two countries, more so than someone living in the States would be. But I still had this very narrow-minded idea of what North Korea was like.
It's all brainwashed.
Yeah, and I read stories of refugees escaping, and I assumed that everybody in North Korea wanted to escape, and or they were brainwashed into thinking that, like, their country's amazing, and and I just thought, oh man, everyone's just starving, and like, but that's such a narrow-minded
perspective, and it doesn't make sense if you like think about it.
Yeah,
like how can like 20 plus million people all like subscribe to this one idea? And
exactly, but the show reminded me that as unrealistic as this show is, like, you know, the experiences of North Korean people are real and human, and they are a bunch of individuals living their lives,
just normal lives, making rice, like going to school, like doing normal things,
doing their jobs, working their jobs, trying to go to school. Yeah.
And did we talk about like the language?
Oh no, yeah.
Yeah, so like when I'm watching the show, like, you can obviously, for Koreans who speak Korean and no Korean, there's an obvious like North Korean dialect.
Mm-hmm. Is there an accent, or is it just different words that they use?
Both.
Okay.
Right. But that's like common in South Korea as well, depending on the region.
Dialects,
but,
but
that's something that, as a Korean, I pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what is actually interesting is, like, in the historical dramas, there's sometimes, like, a vocabulary term, like an archaic Korean word that comes up. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a little explanation about what that word means. That thing comes up in the show as well, North Korean words.
Maybe we should add, is set in present time. Right. It's not a historical. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a 21st century modern girl. Yeah.
And so, like, even for South Korean present day listeners or watchers can, like, see, oh yeah, wait, that was a North Korean word that we don't use.
Yeah.
Even the last names in the way that it's written.
Yeah.
The last name Lee, in Korean we would say it as E, but in North Korea the same last name is pronounced Lee and written as L-I or L-E-E.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, okay, it's hard to explain in English because, like, there's a bunch of Lees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
if you get it, you get it. If you don't, we don't know how to explain it to you.
Write us an email and I'll send you a personal video of me explaining it. So I think, actually, to kind of connect on this with the North Korean experience and, like, the refugees, like, do you remember in Squid Game that one girl who was from North Korea and just, like, I guess I never really thought about the fact that North Koreans, like, exist outside of North Korea.
And like, then, they're like, in South Korea, like, working and,
And I think that kind of was, like, the first real portrayal, whether how real that is, I don't know, but like first realistic portrayal of what life as a North Korean, former North Korean in South Korea must be like, and like maybe all the stigma that surrounds it.
And that's another thing I wonder too, is what kind of stigma comes with being a North Korean living in South Korea. Like, obviously, at first look, you wouldn't really be able to tell, but then once you hear them talk, or once you ask about their life story, then that kind of comes to light more, and are they seen differently?
Yeah.
Or are they viewed in a different light? And that's just another thing that I wonder about.
And I think, I guess we're talking about Squid Game now.
Yeah, yeah, we've kind of moved into the... Yes, let's officially move into our thoughts on Squid Game.
I want to combine Squid Game and Parasite. I think they're kind of the same feeling.
Similar.
Yeah. It's pretty much talking about like social economic class and
class divide,
just like that's present in South Korea right now. And I think that North Korean girl existing in the Squid Game universe and in that show really like really highlights that spread, that divide, because you have like, okay, we'll go back to Crash Landing. Like Yoon Se-ri, she's like the CEO and the wealthy daughter of a wealthy conglomerate family.
Yeah.
And then you have Squid Game, and you have people like, so Squid Game, you have people coming together to compete for a cash prize.
And the competitions involve
death. So you have like rich CEO, like the super top 1%, and then you have the poor struggling Koreans, and then you have like this North Korean refugee to like further like
the divide,
or to further like highlight that divide. And I wondered watching Parasite and Squid Game, just like how bad is it in South Korea, where you have two huge pieces of media come out in recent years, pretty much all talking about this class struggle.
Yeah. And I think when we talk about My Mister, maybe we can talk more about this as well, just like what the reality is like in Korea of this wealth disparity, I guess. And but also the work culture that comes with working in Korea. That's something that neither you or I really were exposed to or are exposed to. And even my dad, working and living in Korea, worked at a very different environment than like a Korean office building or a Korean business.
Okay, wait. So, all right, let's talk about My Mister then.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up. I know we just talked about
Squid Game.
But Squid Game and Parasite, there's plenty of things on YouTube, like much more knowledgeable people.
Listen to them.
Yeah. We'll try to find some things and maybe put links. But
yeah,
like I grew up in America. I have no say in this, but
yeah, we just have our own little meager thoughts.
These are our anecdotes from our own experiences, and these are our wonderings from watching these shows.
So My Mister, I think, is the most like just normal day in the life of a regular middle-aged Korean guy doing his job, trying to take care of a family. And it follows kind of two characters. One, a structural engineer who kind of is getting caught up in just the monotonous go to work, come home. And then it also follows this younger girl who had a really hard life.
Yeah.
And is trying to...
She's trying to take care of her grandma. Yeah. She's working like two or three jobs.
Just really struggling.
Yeah.
And it's just such a wholesome show. Because they built up this friendship. And just in a way help... Like, they help each other out in ways that they didn't know they needed.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's really cool. It's wholesome because there's no like... romantic drama, like pull of the heartstrings. Yeah. It's just like a regular...
There's like some drama involved, but like with like loan sharks and things like that. Exactly. Or like, but yeah, like I think when I first started watching it, I was like, is this going to be a romance?
Yeah.
Like, but it's not. It's not a romance. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It almost feels like just a realistic depiction of Korean life with like... fun plot,
and
you know?
But what I thought was interesting about this show is it shows some of the realities of work, maybe like work culture and hierarchy within a business that maybe Squid Game and Parasite could stem from, like those really large wealth gaps. Because in the business that the main character worked at, the boss was like this really young CEO, just super wealthy, like unbelievably wealthy. And then you have all of the office workers who are working at the same company, but are just
normal,
regular, take the subway to work, live in a small apartment. So it showed those differences in a way, I guess. What did you pick up on while watching that show? Maybe more of like the family.
I think what's interesting about My Mister is that I got to see a lot more of like normal South Korean life. Almost, I say that, almost kind of like what you experienced. Like I imagine, like, you know, like you took the subway, you walk around the streets, but then I think maybe something that you really didn't get to experience was that what Korean family life is like in Korea. And I didn't have that either. But I had a Korean family. And so, like, when there were scenes when a neighborhood bully type of person came to the door to apologize for something. Like, everyone inside the house was shocked to see that this, like, bad guy was at their door. And they were like, oh, like, it was super awkward. And it was a tense situation. But then the mom, like, the old grandma of the house, was like, hey, it's dinner time. Like, why don't you, like, have you eaten? Have you eaten yet? Like, come in for dinner. And just those, like, little moments that, like, I wonder, like, how many non-Koreans, like, if they see that and think that's, like, super remarkable. Because, like, I saw that scene and I thought, oh, yeah, like, that's pretty cool that, like, even though he's the bad guy in the situation right now, like, he's still being invited for dinner. But I also know that that's maybe not, like, super rare or unique. It's notable because it's, like, a tense situation, but, like, you're inviting this guy for dinner. But it's not unexpected, I guess. I wasn't surprised to see that.
And also just, like, the relationship between the mom and her sons in this show is, I guess, just a normal relationship. Like, the mom wants her kids to find good work and, like, I guess in a way, just make good money and just be happy and be able to provide for the family. But there's also, from the sons, this element of, like, I need to find work so I can repay my mom and, like, provide for my mom.
He was saying, like, I need to have, like, a good funeral for my mom.
And that was their big thing, was, like, when our mom dies, how, like, how can we make sure that we can give her a good funeral?
I think another thing that was interesting that we noticed was the main character, who's more well off than his brothers. He lives in an apartment, has a bed frame and a mattress, but then his brothers sleep in the same room and are sleeping on the ground. I mean, they have ondol, which is the ground heating. But
they just sleep on, like, the traditional mat.
It was interesting to see that difference of same family, but, like, different ways of life depending on maybe your lifestyle. Like, white collar, blue collar, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and also the main character, his wife was working a job and making more money than him. And his mom, every time they were all together, she would apologize to the wife and be like, I'm sorry that you have to work so hard. Like, or, like, hey, you work so hard. And some, like, she would say these phrases. And it was just really interesting that that's what she thought.
Kind of like shows the gender roles and the expectations. And I think because Korea has, I guess, like, advanced or, like, came out of the ashes from the war. Like, it's been 70 years since the war. But like I said, like, my grandpa, born in 43, like, he was, what, seven during the war. But then, and then he fought in Vietnam, and then, like, 80s, 90s, like, and now, like, he has seen so much of recent Korean history, and just, like, and he has seen the stark differences from a war-torn country to, like, you go to Costco and the LG refrigerators are, like, $3,000 with, like,
Wi-Fi.
Like, why do you need Wi-Fi in a fridge? But, like, so you go from, like, I don't know, like, nothing to, like, BTS, like just everyone knows Korea pretty much, you know? And I think what we see in these shows, especially when you have, like, a generational characters, like, an older and a younger person, like, and, like, more traditional or more Western, like, you see that tension or the conflict, because I think Korea has changed so quickly in such a short amount of time that maybe those things start to pop up. And maybe that's why you have shows like Squid Game and movies like Parasite that kind of like, maybe it's like not a warning, but just like a critique of like, hey, like this is super cool that we have like Samsung smartphones and everything that's like super awesome. But maybe there's some people being left behind. And, like, maybe we need to be more traditional and, like, go back to, like, we need to take care of each other. Yeah. But also, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the actual meaning and the purpose of those shows were. But that's what I gathered from it.
We haven't really touched on Mr. Sunshine. I want to talk about it because you mentioned your grandpa living through the Japanese occupation.
Well, he was born during.
He was born during it. Because Mr. Sunshine is building up to that time.
Yep. So Mr. Sunshine is set late 1890s, early 1900s, before like 1905, 1910. Like those are like the big dates of when Japan like... took over Korea.
It's a historical fiction, so while it has elements of real history, of course it's dramatized and everything. So Mr. Sunshine, the main character, we first see him as a kid, and he somehow makes his way to America and grows up there, becomes an American soldier, and then is sent back to be stationed in Korea. I forget why.
Because we need a show.
There's a reason, but the important thing is he comes back to Korea, but as an American, but he looks Korean.
Oh, I just remember, like, oh, this was a good show because it's all romance as well. Yes, but they never kiss.
Oh yeah, that's the big thing about Korean dramas is
it's a slow burn.
You probably will never see them kiss. You may see them touch hands
or hug. Not all shows.
No, yeah.
Yeah, but this show, it's a very slow burn. Yes. But, like, I don't think necessarily the romance. Oh, but
you
romance.
Feel the love between them. It's so strong.
Okay, wait. Anyway.
Yeah, so what popped up to you, popped out to you?
So, the character Eugene Choi.
Yeah.
I forgot his Korean name when he was a kid, but, like, his parents were slaves. Servants for a Korean noble.
Yeah.
And then, like, Eugene, like, escaped to America, like, suffered, like, racial prejudice and blah, blah, blah. But then he became a captain.
He comes back as a captain.
Of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Yes.
And he's just an American citizen. Yeah. Right? And so he comes back, and then he falls in love with a high-class noble woman.
Yeah.
And so there's like this tension because like this is an American.
Yeah.
So like he's like all like individualistic, just like I am, you know, like there's no like class differences between us, but he is a child of a former slave. And so it's like for the Koreans of the time, it's like, oh, like we need to keep our distance. Like you are lower than me. Like there's these class differences that need to be observed.
But it's such an interesting show, like how he navigates
I think his identity as a Korean American
and just the desire to avenge his parents who were murdered, but then also recognizing he is an American soldier and he needs to do his job.
And on top of that, you have this whole encroachment, I guess, of like, or like slowly, like the Japanese start becoming more present in the story. And then Eugene kind of flexes his like U.S. citizen muscles and say like, hey, like I'm protected by like the U.S. like army, like Marine Corps. Yeah. And like,
but then he also navigates this, like there's still a part of Korea in me. Like, do I fight with Korea and for Korea against the Japanese colonial expansion? One thing that I thought was super cute about the show is when he comes back to Korea, he can speak Korean, but he can't read Korean or write Korean, right? Because he learned English.
Also, he was like a slave.
So he didn't know how to read or write. And mm-hmm. so it's super cute just how he relearns. And it's a really precious show. Yeah.
I think also for me personally, like watching that show, like Eugene is kind of like me, right?
Yeah.
Like he was born in Korea, yeah. like, but then he's an American and that's me mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it was just interesting to kind of like see another person, admittedly like a fictional person.
Yeah.
100 years ago, like try to navigate his own identity. Yeah, it was, I wonder how many Korean Americans watch that show. And
yeah.
One fun thing that I just thought of is like, you know how Korean men have to serve in the military?
Yes.
And when I became a U.S. citizen, I didn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still have like, I'm still on the list for selective service, like the draft.
In for case, Korea?
For the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
But Eugene Choi, he didn't have to, he was free from military service, like had he been living in the 21st That's century. True. But yet he became a captain in the U.S. Marine Corps. That's kind of fun.
I guess so, yeah.
Like, I don't know. But yeah, I think that's it.
There are so many other shows that we would like to watch. And a few other shows that we have watched, but we think these are the main ones that kind of just...
spark discussion.
Spark discussion between us, and we wanted to share those thoughts with you. Please email, reach out to us with your recommendations of which shows, which movies to watch. We are always searching for more.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know if you have watched these shows, what you think of them, and what you think of our take on them.
Yeah, so Kyla, where can they find us?
Yeah, you can find us at anecdotalkoreans@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you prefer the Instagram, you can find us at anecdotalkoreans.
That's it.
Don't we have Twitter? And
We barely
Have just, a Twitter. Just Instagram, I guess. Thanks to Amy Kim.
I feel like we do this every episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, send us an email. Love to hear your thoughts. If you can leave a review, I don't know if that's possible, but leave a good review if you're going to. All right.
Thank you for listening.
I'll see you next time. Outro music.